She never wore the dress again. I asked her about it one day. She said it had accidentally gotten ripped. "He didn't mean it," she said. I'd felt a great and terrible rage then, that I didn't know what to do with. Eventually, it went away. And now this ribbon. I held it in my hand. It was warm. "Sometimes people are sad," Joe said, leaning his forehead against my arm. A whine sounded like it came from the back of his throat. "And I don't know how to make it go away. It's all I ever wanted, to make it go away." I opened the box. There was a black felt cloth carefully tucked and folded. It felt like a great secret lay hidden underneath, and I wanted to know it more than anything else in my life. I unfolded the cloth, and inside was a wolf made of stone. The detail felt miraculous on such a small and heavy thing. The bushy tail curled around the wolf as it sat on its haunches, the triangle ears that I thought should be twitching, the individual paws, sharp toenails and black pads, the tilt of the head exposing the neck, eyes closed, snout pointed up as if the wolf howled a song I could hear in my head. The stone was dark, and I briefly wondered what color it would be in real life, if it'd have white spots on its legs, if its ears would be black. The birds had stopped singing overhead, and I wondered if it were possible for the world to hold its breath. I wondered at the weight of expectations. I wondered many things. I picked up the wolf. It fit perfectly in my hand. "Joe," I sounded gruff.
"Yeah?"
"You. This is for me?"
"Yeah?"
Like it was a question. Then, more sure.
"Yeah."
I was going to tell him it was too much, that he needed to take it back, that there was nothing I could ever give him that would be so beautiful, because the only things I owned that were beautiful were not mine to give away. My mother, Gordo, Rico, Tanner, and Chris, they were the only things I had. But he was waiting for that. I could see it. He was waiting for me to say no, to give it back, to tell him I couldn't accept it. His hands were twitching, and his knees were shaking. He was pale, and he gnawed on his lip. I didn't know what else to say, so I said, "It's probably the nicest thing anyone has ever given me. Thank you."
"Really?"
he croaked. "Really." And then he laughed. His head rocked back, and he laughed, and the birds came back and laughed right along with him. That day was the first time I went inside the house at the end of the lane. Joe took me by the hand and talked and talked and walked and walked. He didn't even pause as we came up to my house. We passed it right on by, without a single stutter to our steps. The moving trucks were gone from the front of the bigger house. The front door was open, and I could hear music coming from inside. I came to a stop as Joe tried to pull me up to the porch.
"What are you doing?"
Joe demanded, in a way that I already recognized. I didn't quite know. It felt rude to just walk into someone's house. I knew my manners. But even the bottoms of my feet were itching to take a step, and another, and another. I was often at war with myself over the little things, what was right and wrong, what was acceptable and what wasn't, what my place was, and if I belonged. I felt small. They were rich. The cars, the house. Even through the windows I could see nice things like dark leather couches and wooden furniture that had no scuffs or cracks. Everything was sweet and clean and so wonderful to look at. I was Oxnard Matheson. My fingernails were gritty and black. My clothes were streaked with grime. My boots were scuffed. I didn't have much common sense, and if my daddy was to be believed, I didn't have much in the way of anything else. My head didn't know its way out of my heart, and I was poor. We weren't on the county poor, but it was close. I couldn't bear the thought that this was charity. And I didn't know them, the Bennetts. Mark was my friend, and maybe Joe too, but I didn't know them at all. But then Joe said,
"It's okay, Ox."
And I said, "How did you know?"
He said, "Because I wouldn't have given my wolf to just anyone."
He blushed again and looked away. and I felt I'd missed something greater than his words. Elizabeth was singing along with an old Dinah Shore song that spun on an ancient record player. It was scratchy, and the song bumped and skipped, but she knew the exact places it did and would pick up the song right where it began again. "I don't mind being lonely," she sang in a breathy voice, "when my heart tells me you are lonely too." My God, I ached. She moved about the kitchen, her summer dress spinning around her, light and airy. The kitchen was lovely, all stone and dark wood. It had been recently cleaned and everything shone as if brand new. I could hear the others moving around in the backyard. They laughed, and I felt almost at ease. Dinah Shore stopped being lonely, and Elizabeth looked over at us. "Do you like that song?" she asked me. I nodded. "It hurts, but in a good way." "It's about staying behind," she said, "when others go to war." "Staying behind or getting left behind?" I asked, thinking of my father. Elizabeth and Joe stilled, their heads cocked at me almost in the same way. "Oh, Ox," she said, and Joe took my hand back in his. "There is a difference. Sometimes." "You're staying for Sunday dinner," she said. "It's tradition." I didn't have many traditions. "I wouldn't want to bother anyone," she said. "I see you opened your gift," like I hadn't spoken at all. Joe grinned at her. "He loved it." "I told you he would," she looked back at me. "He was so worried." Dinah Shore picked up again in the background as Elizabeth began to cut a cucumber into thin slices. Joe flushed. "No, I wasn't." Carter came in through the back door. "Yes, you were." His voice went high and fluttery. "What if he hates it? What if it's not cool enough? What if he thinks I'm a loser?" Joe scowled at him, and I thought I heard a rumble come from deep inside him. "Shut up, Carter." "Boys," Elizabeth warned. Carter rolled his eyes. "Hey, Ox, do you have an Xbox?" Joe laughed. "Ha! Rhymes! Ox and Xbox!" He let go of my hand and began to pull silverware from a drawer near the stove. I rubbed my hand against the back of my head. No. I think I have a Sega. Dude, retro. I shrugged. Don't have much time for it. We'll make time, he said. He took plastic cups down from a cupboard. I need to ask you about school anyway. Kelly and I will be starting up with you next year.
I wish I could go, Joe grumbled darkly.
You know the rule, Elizabeth said. Homeschooled until you're 12. It's only one more year, baby. This did nothing to ease his mind. But I'd never been homeschooled before, and I didn't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing.
Ox, invite your mother, would you?
Elizabeth asked as she spun back and forth between the countertops, back and forth. She's at work, I said, unsure of what I should be doing. They all moved like they've lived here forever. I was the elephant in the room. Or the ox. I wasn't sure which.
Next time, then, she said, as if there would be a next time.
Because it's tradition? She smiled at me, and I saw Joe in her.
Exactly. You catch on fast.
I was suddenly very aware of my appearance. I'm not exactly dressed for this. I brushed a hand through my hair and remembered my fingers were dirty. She waved a hand at me.
We're not formal, Ox.
I'm dirty.
Well worn, more like. Take this out back, would you? Thomas and Mark will be glad to see you.
She handed me a bowl of fruit, and I held it along with the box that carried the stone wolf. Joe tried to follow me out, but she stopped him.
You stay here with me for now. I need help. Ox, away with you. But, Mom!
I walked through the back door. A large table had been set up in the grass. It was covered in a red tablecloth held down by old books set on the corners. Kelly was unfolding chairs around the table. All right, then? He asked me as I set the fruit down. Things happen fast here, I said. He laughed. You don't know the half of it. And as if proving my point, Dad wants to talk to you.
Oh, about what?
I tried to think back if I'd done something wrong already. I couldn't remember everything I'd said yesterday. It wasn't much. Maybe that was the problem.
It's okay, Ox. He's not as scary as he looks.
Liar.
Well, yeah, but it's good you know that already. It'll make things easier.
He suddenly laughed, as if he'd heard something funny.
Yeah, 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 he said, waving his hand at me.
They were grilling, Mark and Thomas. I wanted desperately to go stand by them, shoot the shit, talk like I belonged. I gathered up my courage, only to have Mark turn and walk toward me.
We'll talk later, Mark said, squeezing my shoulder before I could say anything.
He left me with Thomas. Thomas had at least 3 inches on me and maybe 40 pounds in his chest and arms and legs. I was bigger than most, even at 16, but Thomas was bigger still. He eyed the box in my hand.
Joe tied the ribbon himself, he said. Wouldn't let anyone else help.
Honesty, maybe. I almost told him I couldn't take it. An eyebrow rose.
Why is that?
It seems precious.
It is.
Then why?
Why what?
Why would he give it to me?
Maddeningly. Why not?
I don't have precious things.
I understand you live with your mother.
Yes.
And then I knew what he meant.
Oh.
We're all allowed to have certain things that are just ours.
He motioned for Kelly to come to the grill.
Walk with me, Ox.
I followed him. He led me away from the house, into the trees. A man I only met the day before, and yet I felt no hesitation. I told myself it was because I was starved for the attention and nothing more.
We used to live here, he said. Before you. Carter was only 2 when we left. It wasn't meant to be for as long as it was. That's what is so funny about life. And so scary. It gets in the way, and then one day, you open your eyes and a decade has passed. Even more.
He reached out and brushed his hands along score marks in the trunk of a tree. His fingers almost fit it perfectly. And I wondered, what could have caused such scrapes? It looked like claw marks.
Why did you leave? I asked, though it was not my place.
Duty called. Responsibilities that couldn't be ignored, no matter how hard we tried. My family has lived in these woods for a very long time.
It must be good to be home.
It is, he said. Mark kept an eye out every now and then, but it wasn't the same as touching the trees myself. He's quite taken with you, you know.
Mark?
Sure, him too.
You think you hide, Ox, but you give so much away. The expressions on your face, the breaths you take, your heartbeat.
I try not to.
I know.
But I can't figure out why.
Why do you hide?
Because it was easier. Because I'd done it for as long as I could remember. Because it was safer than being out in the sun and letting people in. It was better to hide and wonder than reveal and know the truth. I could have said that. I think I had the capacity, and I could have found the words. They would have come out in a stutter, halted and choked and bitter, but I could have forced them out. Instead, I said nothing. Thomas smiled quietly at me. He closed his eyes and turned his face up toward the sun.
It's different here than anywhere else, he said, inhaling deeply.
Mark said that when we met, about the smells of home.
Did he? In the diner?
He told you?
Thomas smiled.
It was nice, but showed too many teeth.
He did. He seemed to think you were a kindred spirit. And then what you did with Joe.
I was alarmed. I took a step back. What did I do? Is he okay? I'm sorry. I didn't...
Ox.
His voice was deep. Deeper than before. And when his hands came down on my shoulders, it felt like a command. And I relaxed even before I knew it was happening. The tension left like it had never been there at all, and I tilted my head back slightly, like I was exposing my neck. Even Thomas seemed surprised.
What is your last name? He asked.
Matheson?
There was an undercurrent of panic, but his voice was still deep and his hands still on my shoulders, and the panic wouldn't bubble toward the surface. He opened his mouth to speak, but then closed it again. Then each word came, deliberate and careful.
Yesterday, when Joe found you, who spoke first?
He did. He asked if I smelled something. I wanted to take the stone wolf out of the box and look at it again.
Thomas stepped back, dropping his hands. He shook his head. There was a small smile on his face that looked almost like wonder.
Mark said you were different. In a good way.
I'm not anyone, I said.
Ox, before yesterday, we hadn't heard Joe speak in 15 months.
The trees and the birds and the sun all fell away, and I was cold.
Why?
Thomas smiled sadly.
Because of life and all its horrors, the world can be a terrible place.
It can be. The world. Terrible and chaotic and wonderful. People could be cruel. I heard it when people called me names behind my back. I heard it when they said the same things to my face. I heard it in the sound the door made when my father left. I heard it in the crack of my mother's voice. Thomas didn't tell me why Joe stopped talking. I didn't ask. It wasn't my place. People could be cruel. They could be beautiful, but they could be cruel, too. It's like something so lovely can't just be lovely. It also has to be harsh and corroding. It's a complexity I didn't understand. I didn't see the cruelty when I sat down at their table the first time. Mark sat to my left, Joe to my right. The food was dished, but nobody lifted a fork or spoon, so I didn't either. All eyes were on Thomas, who sat at the head of the table. The breeze was warm. He smiled at each of us and took a bite. The rest of us followed. I kept the box with the wolf of stone in my lap. And Joe. Joe just said things like,
I like it when things blow up in movies, like boom and stuff.
And,
what do you think happens when you fart on the moon?
And,
one time, I ate 14 tacos because Carter dared me to, and I couldn't move for 2 whole days.
He said,
Maine was Maine. I miss my friends, but I have you now. That's not even funny. I'm not laughing. Can you pass me the mustard before Kelly uses it all like a jerk?
He said.
One time, we went to the mountains and went sledding. I suck at video games, but Carter said I'll get better. I bet I can run faster than you.
He said.
Can I tell you a secret? Sometimes I have nightmares, and I can't remember them. Sometimes I can remember all of them.
The table went quiet, but Joe only had eyes for me. I said,
I have bad dreams too, but then I remember I'm awake and that the bad dreams can't follow me when I'm awake, and then I feel better. Okay, he said. Okay.
I passed all my finals. Fuck Stonewall Jackson. Chapter 5. Pretty Boy, Fuck Off. My mother met the Bennetts halfway through summer at one of the Sunday dinners. She was nervous, like I'd been. She ran her hands along her dress, smoothing it out. She curled her finger in her hair. She said,
They seem so fancy.
And I laughed, because they were, and they weren't. My mom smiled anxiously when Elizabeth hugged her. Later, they were in the kitchen drinking wine, and Mom giggled, her face a little flushed with drink and happiness. Thomas worked from home. I never understood what he did exactly, but he was always on the phone in his office late at night, calling people in Japan or Australia, and always early in the morning with New York and Chicago.
Finances, Carter told me with a shrug. Money, something, something, blah, blah, boring. You can't die on this level, Ox. It's too easy.
Elizabeth painted. She said that summer she was in her green phase. Everything was green. She'd spin a record on the old Crossley and say things like,
Today, today, today,
and Sometimes I wonder. And then she'd begin. It was always a controlled chaos, and every now and then she'd have paint in her eyebrows and a smile on her face. Apparently she's good, Kelly told me. Has shit hanging in museums. Don't tell her I said this, but I think it all looks the same. I mean, I can splash paint on a canvas too. Where's my money and fame? I walked down the dirt road after work, and Joe was waiting for me. Hey, Ox, he said, and he smiled so very, very big. Sometimes they had days where I wasn't allowed to go over, 2 or 3 or 4 days in a row. It's family time, Ox, Elizabeth would say. Or, we're keeping the kids in tonight, Ox, Thomas would say. Come back on Tuesday, okay? I understood, because I was not part of their family. I didn't know what I was to them, but I forced the hurt away. I didn't need it. I had too many of my own to add more on top. They didn't mean it in a bad way, I didn't think. I'd find Joe waiting for me on the road a few days later, and he'd hug me and say, I missed you. And I'd follow him home, and Elizabeth always said, There's our Ox. And Thomas always said, You all right? Then it would be like nothing had happened at all. I'd lie in bed those nights, lost in my thoughts, hearing far-off sounds I would have sworn were wolves howling. The moon was fat and full and lit up the room as if it were the sun. They never came inside my house. I never asked, and neither did they. I never really thought about it. You still cutting out early today? Gordo asked me one humid day toward the end of August. I looked up from the alternator repair I was doing. Yeah, registration. Already. I brought a change of clothes so I didn't go stinking of metal and oil. Your ma's working? Yeah. You want me to go with? I shook my head. I got this. Junior year. It's tough. I rolled my eyes. Shut up, Gordo. You going to take that pretty boy with you, Poppy? Rico shouted from across the shop. I flushed, even though it was nothing. Gordo's eyes narrowed. What pretty boy? Our big boy has got himself some prime real estate, Rico said. Tanner saw them out a couple of nights ago. I groaned. That's just Carter. Carter, Tanner sighed, his voice all breathy. Carter? Gordo asked. Who is he? I want to meet him, in my office, so I can scare the shit out of him. God damn it, Ox, you better be using fucking condoms. Yeah, Chris said. Make sure you get the fucking condoms, instead of the regular ones. They're better. For the fucking. Bazing, Rico cried. I hate all of you, I muttered. That's a lie right there, Tanner said. You love us. We bring you joy and happiness. So you're fucking him then. Gordo said with a scowl. Jesus, Gordo, no. We were getting pizza to take back to his little brothers. We're friends. They just moved here. I'm not into him like that. Though I didn't think it would be that hard to be. I did have eyes, after all. How'd you meet him? Nosy bastard. They moved into the old house next to ours. Or back into the house. I don't know quite which yet. The Bennetts. Heard of them? And then a funny thing happened. I'd seen Gordo pissed off. I'd seen him laugh so hard he pissed himself a little. I'd seen him upset. I'd seen him sad. I'd never seen him scared of anything. Gordo didn't get scared. Never once, since I'd first met him when my daddy took me to the shop one day, and Gordo had said, Hey, guy, heard a lot about you. What say you and me go get a pop out of the machine? Never once. If asked, I would have said Gordo didn't get scared at all, even if I knew how ridiculous that sounded. But Gordo was scared now. Eyes wide, blood draining from his face. It lasted 10 seconds, maybe 15 or 20, and then it was gone, like it had never been there at all. But I'd seen it. Gordo? He turned and walked into his office, slamming the door behind him. What the fuck? Rico asked succinctly. Jealous prig, Tanner muttered. Shut the fuck up, Tanner, Chris warned, glancing over at me. I just stared at the closed door. I'm sorry, I told Gordo later. For whatever I did. He sighed. It's not on you, kiddo. Can you find different friends? Why aren't we enough? He sounded miserable. It's not the same. You need to be careful. Why? Forget it, Ox. Just watch yourself.
Got a strange call from Gordo, Mom said one night.
What?
Wanted me to keep you away from next door.
What?
She looked confused. Said they were bad news?
Mom, I told him to leave it alone. Something crawled up his ass, I said.
She frowned. Watch your mouth. You're not at the shop.
I burst through the office door. What the hell is your problem?
You'll thank me one day, he said. He didn't look away from the computer, like he didn't have the fucking time of day.
Too bad she doesn't give a shit what you think. She said I'm old enough to make my own choices.
That got his attention. He was pissed. I stormed out. He wanted to drive me home every day after work. I laughed and told him to fuck off.
Ox, look how many French fries I can fit in my mouth.
Joe then proceeded to shove at least 30 into that gaping maw, making little snarly sounds as he did.
Gross, Carter groaned. This is why you don't get to go out in public.
Kelly snorted. You're just trying to impress the waitress.
Carter punched him on the shoulder. She's hot. She go to our school, Ox?
Think so. Senior.
I am so going to hit that this year.
Ah, the joys of young love, Mark sighed.
Joe, don't put French fries up your nose.
Hit that? Kelly asked incredulous. Dude, gross.
Oh, I'm sorry if I offended your delicate sensibilities. I meant make love to.
Please don't tell Thomas or Elizabeth anything about this, Mark begged me. I'm a good uncle, I swear.
Ox! Hey, Ox! I'm a French fry walrus. Look! Look!
They all stilled at the same time. Mark's hands curled into fists on the table.
Stay here, he growled.
He was up and out the door before I could speak.
What the hell? I asked.
Kelly tried to follow him, but Carter held him back.
Let me go, Carter.
No, Carter said.
We stay here. Ox and Joe. You know this.
Kelly nodded and stood next to the table, arms crossed, like he was guarding anyone from coming over. I looked out the window of the diner. Mark was across the street. With Gordo. They were not happy to see each other.
Motherfucker, I muttered.
I pushed my way out of the booth. Kelly grabbed my arm and said,
No, Ox, you can't just...
But I snarled at him something fierce, and his eyes went wide, and he stepped back.
Joe, you stay here, I snapped over my shoulder.
Joe's eyes narrowed, and he opened his mouth to retort, but I cut him off, telling Kelly to watch him. Carter was up and followed me out the door without a word. I only caught bits and pieces of the conversation as I approached. There was no context, no way for me to understand. I saw the look of fury on Gordo's face, the harsh set of Mark's jaw.
Gordo, it's not the same. You left. I kept this town safe and you fucking left. We had to. We couldn't. I'll put up wards around him, strengthen the ones I had around his house. You'll never. It's his choice, Gordo. He's old enough to. You leave him out of this. He is not part of this. You know what happened to Joe. He's helping Joe, Gordo. He's fixing him.
Gordo took a step back.
You fucking bastard. You can't use... Gordo!
He looked over at me, eyes wide.
Ox, you get your ass over here, now.
What the fuck is your problem, man? I asked him. I pushed past Mark and stood in front of Gordo, inches from him. I'd never used my size to intimidate anyone before. But that's okay, because Gordo wasn't intimidated. Even when we both seemed to realize at the same time that I'd grown taller than him over the last few months, he had to look up at me now.
You need to get behind me, Ox. Let me deal with this.
With what? You didn't tell me you knew them. What's going on? He took a step back. His hands were fisted at his sides. His tattoos looked brighter than normal.
Old family drama, he said through gritted teeth. Long story. I get this, okay? I said, motioning between the two of us. I get this. But you can't tell me what to do. Not about this. I'm not doing anything wrong. It's not about you. Sure as hell seems like it. He closed his eyes, took a deep breath, let it out slowly. Ox, I need you safe. Why wouldn't I be? I didn't understand. Shit, Mark muttered. He's your tether? He chuckled darkly. Oh, the fucking irony. Gordo's eyes flashed open. He tried to step around me, but I wouldn't let him. Take a walk, man, I told him. Cool off. He snarled at me, but turned and walked away. I whirled on Mark. What the hell was that? He was watching Gordo walk away. Old family drama. What? It doesn't matter, Ox, he said. Ancient history. I asked Gordo to explain. I asked him how he knew Mark and the others. Why he had lied to me and acted like he didn't know them at all. He just scowled until I walked away. I asked Mark how he knew Gordo. Mark looked sad, and I couldn't handle that, so I told him I was sorry and never brought it up again. It was the last Sunday dinner before school started. Joe and I sat on the porch watching the trees.
I wish I could go with you, he muttered.
Next year, yeah? He shrugged.
I guess. It's not the same. You won't be around as much.
I put my arm over his shoulder. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm scared.
Of?
Things are changing, he whispered.
I was too, more than he could ever know.
They will.
They have to. But you and me? I promise that won't ever change.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Joe. He laid his head on my shoulder, and his nose brushed my neck. He breathed me in as we watched the sunset. It was pink and orange and red, and I couldn't think of a single place I'd rather be. Fucking retard, Clint sneered at me the second day of school, because that was his thing. I ignored him, as I always did, shoving books into my locker. It was easier. Apparently not for Carter, though. He grabbed Clint by the back of the head and threw him against the row of lockers, pressing his face against the cold metal. You talk like that to him again, and I'll rip your fucking heart out, he hissed. Tell everyone that Ox is under Bennett protection, and if anyone so much as looks at him funny, I'll break their arms. Don't fuck with Ox. You didn't have to do that, I said quietly, as Carter and Kelly pulled me away. Carter had his arm around my shoulders, and Kelly held my elbow. They go away eventually. Fuck that, Carter snarled. They don't touch you, Kelly growled. Ever. They came into the school with their fancy clothes, and their perfect faces, and their secrets, and everyone talked about them. The Bennett boys. High school is the same wherever you go. It's rumors and cliches and innuendo. They're in a gang, people whispered. They're drug dealers. They had to leave their other school because they killed a teacher. They take turns fucking Ox. Ox fucks them both. I laughed and laughed. We sat in the lunchroom, and I had friends. Sometimes I wanted to talk. Sometimes I had nothing to say and opened my book. They always sat on the same side of the table as me, crowding in close. They were physical, the whole family. A hand in my hair, a hug, Elizabeth's kiss on my cheek. Joe on the dirt road as I walked in the sun. His hand would go into mine and he would lean up against me as we headed home. Kelly bumped my shoulders as we passed each other in the hallway. The weight of Carter's arm on me as we walked into class. Thomas's hand shaking mine, the grip strong and calloused. Mark's thumb against my ear. At first, it was just me. But as winter approached, they started to include my mother. Gordo told me about Joe. Part of it, anyway. And I hated him for it. You have to be careful with him, he said. We were on a smoke break, even though I didn't smoke anymore. I know,
I said. You don't. You don't know the first thing. He touched the raven on his arm. Smoke curled up around his fingers.
Gordo, he was taken, Ox.
I stilled. They took him, in the middle of the night, to get back at his father, his family. They hurt him for weeks. He came back and he was broken. He didn't even know his name.
Shut up, I said hoarsely. You shut your fucking mouth.
He must have realized he'd gone too far. He closed his eyes.
Shit.
I love you, I told him. But I hate you right now. I've never hated you before, Gordo, but I hate you so fucking bad, and I don't know how to stop. We didn't say anything for a very long time. And then, everything changed. Chapter 6. Or Never. 8 weeks. Chris's mom died, and it was bad. He cried in the middle of the shop, and I put my head on his shoulder. Rico touched his neck. Tanner laid his head on Chris's back. Gordo ran his fingers over his buzzed hair. He went away for a while. He came back with Jessie, his little sister. She'd just turned 17 and was going to live in Green Creek with him. She looked like her brother, brown hair and pretty green eyes, fair skin with little freckles on her nose and cheeks, and one on her ear that fascinated me. He brought her to the shop, and she smiled quietly as he introduced her.
And that's Ox, he said,
and I walked into a wall. The guys all stared at me.
Did he just... Gordo asked.
This is awesome, Tanner said.
Hi, I said, my voice much deeper than it had ever been before. I'm Ox, Oxnard. Call me Ox. I tried to pose against a 2007 Chevy Tahoe, but I slipped and skinned my elbow. I pulled myself back up.
Or Oxnard, whatever.
Oh boy, Rico said. This is so awkward to witness. We should save him. Or leave. No one saved me. Or left.
Hi, Ox, Jessie said. It's nice to meet you.
She grinned, and it was a mischievous thing with a hint of teeth. My mouth went dry, because her lips were pretty, and so were her eyes. And I thought, well, that's just fine.
You too?
Maybe Ox can show you around school next week when you start, Chris said.
I dropped a socket wrench on my foot.
Jessie started school on a Tuesday in the spring. I was awkward, unsure, even when she laughed after I told a joke I didn't mean to tell. It was low and throaty, and I thought it was one of the nicest sounds I'd ever heard. Carter and Kelly seemed to like her well enough, but they refused to leave my side between classes and crowded me more than usual at lunch. I suppose it must have looked odd to anyone else, seeing three big guys on one small bench while a girl sat opposite them with all the room in the world. She cocked her eyebrows at us, but Carter and Kelly refused to move, and I explained to her later that's just how they were.
Protective?
She asked, eyeing the two of them.
You could say that. Guys, come on.
They glared at me before glaring at her. She laughed at them. Later, she walked with me to the shop after school, and I turned red when her arm brushed mine. I held the door open for her, and she called me a gentleman. I tripped over my feet at that, and almost knocked her to the ground. Rico said in a very loud voice that it must be love. The sun was setting when I walked home, thoughts of pretty girls and brown hair swirling around in my head. Joe was waiting for me, a smile on his face. The smile faded as I got closer.
What is that?
He asked as I reached him.
What? That smell.
I sniffed the air around me. It smelled the same. The forest and leaves and grass and blooming flowers, all sharp and heady. I told him so. He shook his head.
Never mind.
The smile came back, and he took my hand and we walked toward home. He told me about all he'd learned, how he couldn't wait until he got to go to school with me and Carter and Kelly. And didn't that tree look like a lady dancing? Did I see that rock with the crystal strip running down its side? Had I seen the commercial for that new superhero movie that we just had to go see this summer? Did I want to stay for dinner? Did I want to read comic books tonight? Yes, Joe, I said. Yes to it all. It was a Thursday that I finally worked up the nerve. She's going to look at me weird, and I won't remember how to breathe, I groaned to Carter and Kelly. You don't have to do anything you don't want to, Kelly said. But I want to. Are you sure? Carter asked, sounding dubious. You're not acting like it. Maybe think on it a few more days. Or weeks, Kelly said. Or years, Carter said. Or never, Kelly said. She's coming, I said. I might have squeaked.
Hey, guys. Jessie flashed a smile as she sat down at the lunch table.
Jessie? Carter sounded bored out of his mind.
How nice to see you again. Kelly didn't sound like he meant that at all. They both crowded me closer. I could barely breathe.
Hi, I said. You look... swell.
Kelly snorted.
Thanks,
Jessie said.
So, I said.
They all looked at me.
There's... stuff... happening... this weekend?
Is there? Carter asked like a jerk. What kind of stuff is happening this weekend, Ox?
Things?
I kicked him under the table. He didn't even flinch.
Stuff and things, Jessie asked. Exciting.
Maybe...
maybe what?
Maybe you'd want to... do... stuff and things... with me?
Kelly groaned. Jessie grinned.
Why, Oxnard Matheson, you devil! I can't Saturday because Chris and I have to go do some work on Mom's estate. How about Sunday afternoon?
He can't, Carter said.
I can't? I asked.
Sunday dinner, Kelly reminded me.
Oh, well, maybe I can miss it.
This once?
It's not like I can't go next Sunday.
Carter and Kelly stared at me.
Sounds good, Jessie said.
She was blushing, and I thought, wow.
You have to be the one to tell Joe, Carter said.
Seriously, Kelly agreed. I don't even want to be in the same room.
Joe?
Jessie asked.
Little brother, Carter said, like it should have been obvious.
Ox's best friend, Kelly said, like it was a challenge.
He's awesome, I agreed. And I felt the first stirrings of guilt and didn't know why.
Where is he?
She asked.
Homeschooled, I said. He'll be here next year.
And I couldn't wait.
How old is he?
She asked. She sounded confused.
11.
Your best friend is an 11-year-old?
Carter and Kelly tensed on either side of me, coiling like spring-loaded traps.
That's so sweet, Jessie said.
She smiled at the three of us.
Whatever, Carter mumbled.
Don't forget to tell Joe, Kelly said. I forgot to tell Joe. I didn't know why. Maybe it was work, and school, and the fact that I was going on my first date with a pretty girl. Maybe it was because I was distracted by the joyous ribbing the guys gave me at the shop when they found out.
Make sure you wrap it up, Poppy, Rico said. Chris will come after you with a shotgun if you don't.
Chris had looked horrified, and then threatened me with bodily harm if I even thought about sex in any way, shape, or form. Tanner and Gordo just laughed and laughed. Gordo seemed especially pleased by all of this. Chris came in on Saturday with a box of condoms and told me never to speak of it again. I threw them in the dumpster behind the shop so Mom wouldn't find them at home. I was mortified. But I forgot to tell him. Jessie smiled at me when I knocked on the apartment door. Chris did his best to scowl at me, but I knew him too well. He rolled his eyes and ruffled my hair and told us to be good. And we were. She told me stories over lasagna that was too dry, like how when she was 7, she was riding a horse that got spooked by a snake. It took off with her on its back and didn't stop for almost an hour. She didn't ride horses anymore, but she thought snakes were okay. She took a drink of water that was in a wine glass, like we were adults. Like it was wine and we were adults and doing adult things. I thought her foot touched mine.
She said, we knew she was going. We'd known it for a long time. But when she took her last breath, It was still such a surprise that I thought I would break. It got easier, though. Much quicker than I thought it would.
I opened my mouth to give her a tragedy for a tragedy, to tell her about Dad walking out on us one random day, but I couldn't find the words. Not because they weren't there, but because I couldn't find a reason to give them to her. She was open and kind, and I didn't know what to do with that. We got ice cream as the sun set. We walked around the park, the paths lit up with white lights. She reached out and held my hand, and I stuttered over my words and tripped over my feet. It was perfect. It was so perfect. And then she said, "How's Joe doing?" And I said, "Oh, shit." I took her back home. I apologized because I had to cut our first date short. She was puzzled, but nice about it. She said I could make it up to her next time, and my face felt hot. She laughed again, and before I knew it was happening, she leaned up on her tiptoes and kissed me softly. It was sweet and kind, and I hoped Joe was okay.
"See you tomorrow?" she asked when she pulled away.
"Yeah," I somehow managed to say. She smiled at me and went inside. I touched my lips because they tingled, and then I remembered myself. Home was 2 miles away. I didn't have a cell phone. We couldn't afford one. I ran the whole way home. The lights were on in the house at the end of the lane. The door opened even before I got to the porch. Thomas stood in the doorway. Carter was at his side. Both looked like they were ready to attack. Thomas took a step onto the porch. His nostrils flared, and for a moment, I thought his eyes flashed impossibly. But I told myself it had to be the light, nothing more. Carter was on me in a second, rubbing his hands over my head and neck.
"Are you okay?" he said, his voice deep. "Why are you so scared? What happened?"
It was then I realized I was scared, because I had let down my friend.
"No one followed him," Thomas said, stepping beside his son. I could feel the heat off both of them.
"He's not injured," Carter said.
He put his hands on my shoulders and looked me in the eyes.
"Did someone hurt you?"
I shook my head. "Joe," I said. "Joe, I forgot. He..."
"Ah," Thomas said. "That explains it."
Carter dropped his hands and took a step back. Now he only looked annoyed.
"You're an asshole, Ox."
"Carter," his father snapped as I recoiled, "that's enough."
"But he's enough."
With that one word, all I wanted to do was make everything better. To do whatever Thomas told me to do. And I couldn't figure out why. Carter sighed.
"Sorry, Ox. It's just... Joe, man. He's Joe."
I hung my head.
"Dad," Carter said quietly, "don't you think he should know already? He's Pack."
"Inside," Thomas said.
Carter didn't say another word. He was back up the porch and inside, shutting the door to the Bennett house.
"Is he okay?"
I asked Thomas, unable to look at him.
"He will be," Thomas said.
"I didn't mean..."
"I know, Ox."
I looked up at Thomas. He wasn't angry. He was just sad.
"I'll walk you home."
I thought to argue, to tell him I just wanted to see Joe for a minute, to tell him I was sorry, but his tone left no room for argument. So I just nodded and followed him, feet dragging in the dirt.
"Is she nice?" Thomas asked.
"Who?"
"The girl."
I shrugged. "She's okay. She seems like a good person."
"And you haven't had many of those?" Thomas asked.
It was not a question. "I do now," I said honestly, "because I did."
"You do," he said. "Sometimes I forget you're only 16. You've got an old soul, Oxnard."
I didn't know if that was good or bad, so I said nothing.
"Do you like her?"
"I guess."
"Ox?"
"Yes, I do."
"Good," he said. "That's good. Elizabeth and I met when I was 17. She was 15. There has never been another one for me."
"But, Joe, he's..."
Joe, he sighed. Joe was upset. I'm not saying that to make you feel bad, Ox, so please don't misinterpret my intent. Joe is different. After everything that has happened to him, he can't be anything but different. Gordo said, I stopped myself, but the damage was done. Thomas cocked his head at me. And what did Gordo say? He asked, sounding more dangerous than I'd ever heard him. That someone hurt him? I whispered, looking down at my hands. I didn't let him tell me any more.
Why?
Because it wasn't his right to tell me. It's not my right to be told anything at all. And honestly, I don't know if I care. And not because I don't care about him, but because I want to be his friend, no matter how he needs me.
I scuffed the dirt a bit with the tip of my boot.
And I'll be his friend, as long as he lets me.
Ox, look at me.
I did. I couldn't stop, even if I wanted to. His dark eyes were bigger than I'd ever seen. And he spoke, his voice even and soft. Words that washed over me like a river, and I couldn't stop him, no matter how much I wanted to. No matter how hard I wished he would shut his fucking mouth. Joe was taken by a man who wanted to hurt Thomas and his family. The man kept him for many weeks. He hurt him. Physically. Mentally. Broke his little fingers. His little toes. His arm. His ribs. Made him cry and bleed and scream. He would call them sometimes, the bad man. He would call them, and they would hear Joe in the background saying that he wanted to come home. All he wanted to do was come home. 8 weeks. It took them 8 weeks to find Joe. And they did. But he wouldn't speak. He knew them, his family, mostly. He cried silently, his arms and shoulders shaking. But he wouldn't speak. Even when his nightmares were at their worst, and he would wake screaming in the night, thrashing on his bed, trying to escape the bad man, he still wouldn't speak. They tried therapy. It didn't take. Nothing would make him speak.
Not until you, Thomas said.
I must not have been a man yet, because under all that rage, a tear worked its way out and rolled down my cheek. Who? I asked. And that one word sounded like an earthquake.
A man who wanted something he couldn't have, Thomas said.
Did you kill him?
His eyes grew darker. Why?
Because I will if you didn't. I will break him and make him suffer.
You would?
For Joe? Yes.
You are so much more complex than you first appear, Thomas said. These layers of yours. Just when I think I've reached the bottom, it falls away and goes even deeper.
Can I see him?
Give him a couple of days, Ox.
Thomas touched my shoulder, squeezing it gently.
He'll find you when he's ready. And you take care of your girl. She deserves it.
I flushed. She's not my girl, I muttered.
She could be.
Maybe. Am I a part of your pack? For the first time since I'd known him, I had caught Thomas Bennett by surprise. His eyes went wide, and he took a step back and said,
What?
Your pack, or whatever Carter said. He said nothing, and I wondered if I'd crossed a line I didn't know existed. I didn't mean... I trailed off, unsure how to finish. He said,
What do you think pack means?
Family? I said promptly.
Thomas smiled. Yes, Ox, you are part of my pack.
Carter and Kelly weren't at school the next day. I worried. Usually I rode with them, but they weren't there in the morning, and I was almost late after Mom gave me a ride. I'm sure it's fine, Jessie said, squeezing my hand while we sat at lunch. I did my best to smile at her as she talked, about how she liked Green Creek more than she thought she would, about how she couldn't wait for summer, about how she missed her mom. She wondered how long it would hurt,
and I told her I didn't know, even though I wanted to say it would probably hurt forever. She kissed me on the cheek before I went to work. The guys gave me shit at the shop. Chris said Jesse had gotten home the night before and was all swoony.
Ox is so dreamy, he breathed in a high falsetto. His eyes, and his smile, and his laugh, O.M.G.
I blushed furiously and tried to focus on an oil change. Look at him, Rico said gleefully. He's like a tomato. Our precious baby boy is growing up, Tanner sighed. I said, where's Gordo? His office was dark. Day off, Rico said. Had some business to take care of. What business? I didn't remember him saying anything. He never took Mondays off. Don't you worry your pretty little head about it, Tanner said. You just worry about trying to impress your girlfriend.
She's not my girlfriend.
Yeah, Chris said. Try telling her that. Joe wasn't waiting for me on the dirt road. The house at the end of the lane was dark, like no one was home. I thought about knocking on the door, but I went home instead. In my room, the stone wolf sat on a shelf. I held it and realized that Thomas had never answered me about the bad man who had hurt Joe, if he was still alive. A horn honked outside the house the next morning. Carter and Kelly waited in the car. I was nervous. Hey, Ox, they said when I got in the front seat. Kelly sat behind me. Hey, I said back. I wrung my hands together. He's okay, Carter said, as we bumped down the dirt road. I let out a breath. You sure? He will be, Kelly said. We'll make sure of it. And I said, your dad says I'm part of your pack, because I wanted to make sure they thought so too. Carter hit the brakes suddenly. The seatbelt pulled against my chest. Kelly's arms came around my front, clasping tightly. Carter leaned over and rubbed his forehead against my shoulder. Of course you are, he said, and Kelly hummed his agreement, arms tightening. We didn't say much after that, and that was okay. Carter laughed at something Jesse said. Even Kelly smiled. I was in a daze. Gordo was at the shop. The moment I walked through the door, he was in front of me. There were bags under his eyes, and he looked pale. Even the tattoos on his arms looked faded. You okay? I asked him. He nodded. Yeah, you? He sounded pained. You weren't here yesterday.
I know.
Maybe you should go home, man. You don't look so well.
I'm feeling better now, he said.
And then he hugged me. We didn't do this often, so I was surprised. But I hugged him back anyway, because he was Gordo. I put everything I could into it, because I needed to. I'm getting you a phone, he muttered. Cell phone. I'm pissed off that you don't have one. Couldn't even call you.
Hey, no, you don't need to.
Shut up, Ox. And so, I did. Joe wasn't waiting for me on the dirt road. The lights were on in the house at the end of the lane. I was packed now, but I went home instead. I slept with a stone wolf in my hand. Carter and Kelly smiled at me when I got into the car the next morning. I wanted to ask them about the 8 weeks Joe was missing, but the words stuck in my throat. Both of them found some way to touch me, a clap on the back, a pat against my chest. It should have been obvious. It should have been obvious what they were, but then I wasn't looking for the incredible buried in the ordinary.
How's Joe?
Jesse asked at lunch, and Carter and Kelly froze.
Haven't seen him, I muttered.
She looked confused.
Why not?
He's been sick, Carter said before I could speak,
and Kelly squeezed my leg underneath the table. They still crowded on either side of me while we ate.
Oh, she said. I'm sorry to hear that. I hope he gets better.
He will, I said.
I must have put too much emphasis on the words, because she looked at me funny. Carter and Kelly pushed against me, and I knew what they were trying to say. Gordo handed me a cell phone. It wasn't fancy. It was functional. It was awesome. He had programmed his number, the shops, the diners, and the rest of the guys into it. You keep this with you, okay? But don't you dare use it in class unless it's an emergency. I nodded, touching the screen lightly.
I have my own phone number? I asked in awe.
And he smiled at me. That little smile I knew was for me alone. Yeah, man, you got your own number. I said, thanks, Gordo. And I hugged him again. He laughed in my ear, and I forgot that I had hated him for a little while. It was Wednesday, and Joe wasn't there. Carter and Kelly made me put their numbers in my new phone. They gave me their parents, and Joe's, because apparently he had one too, even though he was only 11. I didn't know why little kids needed phones, but as soon as I had his number, I stared at it. I couldn't figure out how to do a text message, so I didn't do anything at all. Chris told me that Jessie was hinting at him that I should ask her out again. I rolled my eyes when they laughed and whistled. I walked down the road to the house. Dirt bloomed up in little clouds as I dragged my feet. The sky was gray, and the clouds were threatening rain. And there he was, standing there, wide, bright eyes. I'd known him for almost a year. He'd grown during that time. His brother still called him a runt, but I didn't think it'd be true that much longer. He'd be big like the rest of them. He was a Bennett, after all. His eyes never left me as I walked forward, slowly, unsure of my place. He didn't reach out for my hand when I got close. Part of me wanted to be angry, to say, it was just one fucking dinner. It was just one day that I missed. It's not fair. It's not fair. You can't be like this. It was a small part, but it was there, and I hated myself for it. And then he said, hey, Ox, in a small voice, so unlike him that it all just went away. So I said, hi, Joe. And I sounded kind of rough. He looked like he wanted to reach out and touch my hand, but stopped himself. I waited, not wanting to push. He said, I wanted to see you. He looked down at his feet and kicked a dried-out leaf. Somewhere a bird sang a song that ached. I said the only thing that came to mind. I got a cell phone. I have your number. I don't know how to text. Can you teach me? Because I want to text you things and I don't know how. He looked up at me with those big eyes, and his bottom lip was trembling. Yeah. Yeah, I can teach you. It's not hard. Do you love her? I said, no, I don't know her like that. And he jumped into my arms then, wrapping himself around me and crying into my neck. I held him tightly, and I guess I wasn't a man yet, because my eyes leaked too. I told him I was sorry I hadn't been there for Sunday dinner, and that it would never happen again, because he was Joe, and I was Ox, and that was how things went. He shook and sobbed, and my neck felt sticky, but eventually he calmed and curled up against my chest. Once settled, he took a deep breath, like he was inhaling every part of me. I carried him home. They were all waiting for us when we got to the house at the end of the lane. Joe was asleep, his face in the crook of my neck, his arms dangling at his sides. He was tired, I said, by way of explanation, and I thought, pack. He missed you.